So if you find this perspective useful, really this use of the sky-like nature of mind, it's important to be reminded, I think, that this is just a metaphor. Our mind is not the sky. A sky is a blank nothing. Our mind is sky-like in its vast capacity, but it is imbued with, and especially when it's allowed to be open, it is imbued and it matures in all the most luscious and wonderful qualities that any being can express. The quality, first of all, of being conscious, and then all the qualities that naturally express themselves when consciousness is open, which is in a room like this, it will respond with the feeling of goodwill. It'll respond with kindness, with love, where it connects with you. If I experience with that open consciousness your pain, it expresses itself as compassion. If you're in a state of joy, that consciousness will express itself as this altruistic or sympathetic response in joy with you. And if it is open and balanced, it will respond with a kind of grandmotherly-like affection and balance that can let you deal and trust that you can deal with your situation and not take on the codependent responsibility for making you or anyone else happy. And so within this nature of consciousness, especially when it's open, these qualities are allowed to flow. Discernment, patience, generosity, all the so-called paramis or perfections begin to mature when, as we know, our consciousness is occluded or blocked or caught or fixated. Often in a state of fear, it's very hard for us to come out of the tangle of fear thinking and consequently we lose contact. We start to feel, I know that I'm kind of launching into a little Dharma talk here even though I didn't intend to, we start to feel like we're the one wave that's gotten separated from the ocean and forget that inclusiveness, that openness. And then what does our mind do innocently when it feels cut off from the flow of life? It says, I'm somebody, I'm a wave, and I've got to find my way back to the ocean. And we fall into delusion, forgetting that the wave is never separate from the ocean. And then fight, struggle until we reawaken to that open secret that we've never been separate, that we are already that which we've been looking for. Just a metaphor, of course. So this is what our minds do, but when they're open, when we're here, we can actually see what's going on, we can respond, we can and care about each other a little more. So it's not just the sky. Many metaphors have been used. The metaphor of the ocean. In fact, I brought a poem from another tradition. Again, it's from the Advaita Vedanta tradition. They're take a lot more liberty with poetic imagery. But all of this we try to connect with in our own way. And this particular passage is from a book called the Ashtavakra Sutta. It's a book that's called The Heart of Awareness. If you ever get a chance, it's very lovely and it's kind of evocative. But in this book, this particular passage is called The Boundless Ocean. I am the boundless ocean, this way and that. The wind blowing where it will drives the ship of the world, but I am not shaken. I am the unbounded deep. in whom the waves of all the worlds naturally rise and fall, but I do not rise and fall. I am the infinite deep in whom all the worlds appear to rise, beyond all form, forever still. Even so am I. I am not in the world is not in me. I am pure, I am unbounded. Free from attachment, free from desire, still. Even so am I. Oh, how wonderful. I'm awareness itself. No less. The world is a magic show. But in me there is nothing to embrace and nothing to turn away. So I'd like to for you to experiment, if you don't mind, with the next, I'd say 20 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes, experiment with walking with this metaphor. We do a lot of walking in our lives, and often in our walking we are living in that little internal world of the separate wave, often busy on a linear pathway going somewhere, and consequently our lens is quite narrow. And there's often the sense, and even the sense that we habitually go into, even as you sit in this room, even the language I just used, I am sitting in this room, as though I'm over here and the room is over here. So rather, just as an experiment, we'll begin by just sensing that this room is within you. This room is within the vast, within the space of your own mind. So there's no inside or outside. This is all in you. I've showed up in your room, in your mind. You've showed up in mine, and we're mingling in this shared experience of the nature of mind. And this whole notion of inside and outside is just another abstraction. And as you walk outside, see the everything that exists within, in this case it'll be the auditory field or the visual field, everything as just an expression or an aspect of your own mind, not outside. And if all that feels like too much space, you can always just drop back into the more gross sensations of sitting, standing, walking, knowing that you could not even perceive this sense of vastness without having this organism with all its sense doors. This is where the Buddha said this fathom-long body includes. This is where the world is born, the beginning of the world, the end of the world, and the path to the end of the world is in this fathom-long body. It depends on this body, so it doesn't mean abandoning, rejecting. Yes, we just have this capacity to include everything. Does this make any sense? Any questions about that? So about 15 or 20 minutes of spacious walking. And of course you can always come back to your breath, come back to your steps, then we'll come back. This is something we can carry with us in our lives. Often there's a feeling like there's no space. Any of you ever feel that? Remember, you can always make space. That's the whole art of meditation, it's the art of making space.